morning.
Was that not awesome? Just amazing. Lord has blessed us with some very talented musicians and singers. And I just got to tell you, that I've been here a year. This is actually, I was sitting over there a while ago, and I think this same date last year was the first actual real time that I was here, and I preached on this same date. The only reason I know that is because it was Super Bowl Sunday. And so today's Super Bowl Sunday, right? I know everybody's going to watch it. I'm for the Seattle Patriots. That's who I'm for. Everybody's confused. Seattle. All right, then I'll be for the, you know, New England Seahawks. How about that? One of them. I don't care. I don't care. Hey, it's great to see you this morning. We want to welcome you to His House if you're visiting guests with us today. We started a series last week called Boundaries, and Pastor Chad preached on the physical boundaries that we need in our lives, and we actually had YMCA here so that people could sign up, and they had a huge response, and so we're going to try to, I know some of you missed that, so we're going to try to have them come back again one Sunday so they can set up again. In a few weeks, he's going to preach on financial boundaries, and along with that, we have a financial piece that'll be starting, a class that'll be starting in February. And so, and then the rest of them really apply to life groups. And so we're trying to do all that we can, not only as we think about these boundaries in our lives, but to be able also just to discern what we do with those, all right? And so today, I have the opportunity to speak on emotional and mental boundaries. I know y'all are excited. I can tell by the way you look at it. We often, you know, here's the thing. We often look at boundaries and we think about boundaries or hear the concept of boundaries, and automatically a lot of times I'm afraid that we think of them as being negative in our lives. And boundaries are actually very, very positive. But my observation is that most people do not like to be told what to do. Anybody in here like that besides me? And so we look at boundaries as a negative. We automatically think someone's trying to tell me what to do, and I don't like being told what to do. And so I'm going to rebel against that idea of a boundary. But the truth of the matter is, we all have boundaries. All of us. And we're submitting to something. Now, what we have to decide in our lives is what we're going to submit to. When we submit to God's boundaries in our lives, they're positive. When we don't submit to God's boundaries, they're no longer boundaries. They're bondages. And so we have to discern that difference this morning. We have to kind of look at the idea of emotional and mental boundaries and I guess ask ourselves this question, is whatever it is that we are submitting to, is it worth it? I mean, is it working for you? You know yourself better than I do, so, you know, this is kind of a self-examination type sermon here. You have to really kind of look at yourself and ask, is what I'm submitting to, is it worth it? And what I want us to realize this morning is that boundaries, especially mental and emotional boundaries, produce positive results. They will produce positive results. And we have to learn to be able to identify the difference between bondages and boundaries. Or bondage and boundaries. So let me help you a little bit. Here's the first kind of couple of things you have in your notes. I hope you got one of our green cards this morning. Emotional bondage is submitting to the wrong thing. Emotional bondage is submitting to the wrong things. Or you can even put, is submitting to the wrong thinking. Because emotions and, you know, emotional and mental all comes up here. It's this wilderness we call our brain. It's where the chaos happens, is between our ears. This is where the toxins become reality is up here. So emotional bondage is submitting to the wrong things. The other side of that is emotional boundaries is submitting to the right things or having the right thinking. And so whether it be boundaries or whether it be bondages, they both begin in the mind before they begin anywhere else. They begin right here. I have a problem with that sometimes. I don't know about y'all, but it just doesn't always click for me up here. I don't always make the right choices. But that's what this really is about, is choices and learning how to discern the right choices and the right boundaries in our lives so that when those things occur, then we have a pattern or a path to follow. So that we know that, yes, chaos might happen and difficulties and trials and whatever. Life, it's just life, isn't it? We have to be able to know, okay, am I submitting to boundaries in my life that I have set up that are positive for me, or I'm going to continue to live under the bondage that I can live in? The easiest verse we're going to start with this morning, Proverbs 23:7, it says this, "For as a man thinks in his heart," anybody finish that for me? There it is. "For as he thinks in his heart," or within himself, "so he is," so she is. As you think in your mind, as you think in your heart, that's who you are. Simple illustration, isn't it? You just have to talk with somebody for 10, 15, 20 minutes, right? I mean, you can learn a lot about the person behind you at the checkout line at Walmart, probably more than you ever really wanted to know about their whole life and the way they think in, what, 5 minutes? Do you need that long? 2.5? Lord Jesus, give his cashier the supernatural power to move, you know, 4 times as fast as she is now so that I can get out of this line. Right? Lord, help me. We do that, and it comes from our minds. So, you know, here's the thing, is what am I telling myself? Is it true, bondage or boundary? What is it that I'm telling myself in my life? Does it align with the Word of God? And there's our key. That's the key, is the Word of God. Philippians 4:8 tells us, Paul tells us in Philippians 4:8, he tells us what to think on. He tells us what to meditate on. Philippians 4:8, it says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are a good report, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of any virtue," I may not have quoted it completely right, but that's okay, you get the gist. "If there's anything praiseworthy," what? "Meditate or think on these things." If your Bible says meditate, put think, put ponder, put take the time to think it through in our heads. And I don't think I have that next verse, I'm not sure, but he tells us this. He says, "These things, the things I just told you, the things which you learned and received and heard and you saw these things from me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, see, here's our other key, is because in everything that we do, that's what we want. Is anybody not wanting peace? Anybody? That's what we're needing, is peace. Well, we often look for peace in all kinds of ways, don't we? Listen, peace can only be found in God. That's the only place we can find true peace, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the first point. That's the first thing you see under there, the first choice that we can make this morning. It's okay, where do we begin? How do we discern between boundaries and bondage in our lives? And so how do we discern between those two? It means you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. You can't always just kind of go through life by the seat of your pants, hoping it all turns out all right. We do that, don't we? And we have to ask ourselves, you know, how's that working for you? You can live in an emotional and mental bondage, or you can live within emotional and mental boundaries. And the difficulty for many of us is that we've grown so accustomed to this state of bondage, this state of chaos, is that we think it's normal. There's many of the things that you're that we're kind of pinpointing today, this morning. We talk about boundaries in your life, and you're dealing with these things, and it's a state of chaos for you, and you believe in your mind, and nobody's ever told you differently, that you think it's normal, and it's not. It's toxic. The bondage that we face a lot of times creates a toxic identification. You know what toxins are, don't you? You know, something that's like poison, you know, toxic, that's going to kill you, you know, breathe into it, you know. And we identify. That's where we find our identification, and our emotional and mental processes adapt to survive. And as we just adapt to survive, we think that that's just the normal process of life. And we don't see it as being in bondage. We see it as being normal. And it's really just toxic. And you got to get that toxicity. Did I say that right? Cool, thank you. You got to get that toxicity out of your body. I'll go back to last week's physical boundaries. And after we did that sermon last week, I heard a lot of people talking about this. You know, a lot of the diets we have now start with this cleansing, right? You have to cleanse your body, these 30-day purges or cleanses or you know, whatever. I said, you know, don't go 30 days, just go get a colonoscopy. It'll take care of that just like that. Don't take my advice. I'm not a doctor. Not yet. but you got to cleanse yourself. Well, it's harder to cleanse yourself with your mental and emotional if you can't identify the toxicities in your life. So let me just give you just a few, just real quick. So just you don't have to write these down. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you, you know, it just kind of identifies them for you. Number one, if you think God's promises apply to everyone but you, you're toxic. If you think that you do not deserve God's love because you just don't deserve it because of something you did, or you just don't deserve it, you're toxic. If you think that you must earn God's love or anyone else's love, guess what? You're toxic. If you determine your self-worth by what others think about you, anybody, you're toxic. Am I relating to anybody yet? If you're unworthy of love and deserve to be punished because of whatever it is that you've done, you deserve what you're getting. You're toxic. Those are all lies. We believe them every day, don't we? If you don't think you can change, if you think everything else is hopeless, you're toxic. It is really quiet. Y'all with me? It's not an easy one to understand that we have to set up, we have to have some boundaries in our lives, because if we don't, we will end up in bondage. Now, we got 30 minutes to talk about your whole life. I don't think we're going to make it, but we're going to do the best that we can. But there's got to be some beginning steps, right? There's got to be some, we have to start somewhere. Let me give you this illustration. Let me start here. When we bought our house several years ago, it had a shallow well. Y'all know what a shallow well is? There's shallow wells and deep wells. Deep wells is when they drill 300-400 feet down the ground, submersible pump. They put it way down in there. They pump, you know, nice clean water from way down in the depths of the earth. Shallow well goes about 25-30 feet. It's got a well. They just kind of, basically, they dig a hole, pour some concrete in it, stick a pump down in there. And it's about 25, 30, maybe 50 foot deep. Somebody in these plumbers can tell me. And ours wasn't very deep, but there it is. And so basically what it is groundwater. It's this rain that we're having, and it's being sifted or you know, through the ground, through the sand, through the dirt in the ground. And so there it is. So we had this pump, and it was nasty. You turn it on, and it was murky. It was had iron in it. I mean, you could pour it out, you know, and it looked like it come out of a pond, right? I mean, it just smelled, just depending upon what day it was, it just smelled bad. Debris all floating in it. You definitely didn't want to drink it. We drank bottled water for a long time. And so it was there. And over this well, there was this big concrete cylinder with a big 3-inch concrete top on it. I mean, it was the Y'all just drive around the country. You'll see a lot of them around here. And it was ugly. It was ugly as all get out. And so this is what I did. I planted flowers all around this concrete behemoth. And I put a mom bush right in front of it. And I even painted it. Painted the concrete so that, you know, kind of hide it. It wouldn't be, you know, so ugly. I did all of that. And you know what? None of that helped that water taste any better. Not one thing. The moms didn't help. The flowers didn't help. The painting didn't help. It was just there. As a matter of fact, we didn't get drinkable, usable water until we went across the yard and dug a 300-foot deep well so that we could penetrate that pool of good, clean water. I like it when you look at me and I can tell y'all, why did you tell us that? I told you that for this reason. No more than I could paint and plant bushes and trees and all that around that well. No more I could do all that and expect to make the water taste any better than can we expect to hear the word of God and have the bondage be broken in our lives. It's going to take some choices. So before we look at the four choices, you got to decide this with me. You've got to decide to make a choice. A different choice. You can't keep going the same path if the path isn't working, correct? If you're in bondage, then it necessitates for us that we need to find a different path because the bondage that we're in isn't working for us. The toxicity that we are creating in our minds, the hate, the anger, the animosity, the hurt, the whatever you want to call it, we can live within in that bondage. Or we can decide to do something different. And the Word of God gives us the ability to do something different. So if you're ready for some boundaries and ready to get rid of the bondage, say amen with me. Let's get started on these. All right, number one, this is really simple. I'm not spending a lot of time here because but you got to start here. Number one is this. This is the choice. It begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only place that you can be in. Everything that we're talking about in boundaries this morning has to begin there. Because listen, you have two choices. You're either going to submit to yourself or you're going to submit to Christ. Now, the first one in that is salvation, and God provides the way of salvation for us. Romans chapter 5, he tells us, for when we were still without strength, or when we were still in bondage, we were in the bondage of death. In due time, Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. So we begin there. Mark tells us, repent and believe in the gospel. Romans tells us, for the wages of sin is death. You can just circle death there. Put hell. For the wages of sin is death. It's hell. But the gift of God is eternal life or heaven in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I read both those verses. Did you notice where it focused both back to? It's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. For when we were without strength, what God give us? In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. It begins with a personal relationship with Christ. And this is what Paul says about that personal relationship, is that when you repent of your sins and you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he tells us this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's what it means to be in Christ, to accept him as your personal Savior, to turn and repent of your sins and turn toward him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm following you the rest of my life. God, I'm tired of all the bondage this world is placing me in, or I find me in. I'm tired of the chaos. I'm tired of the toxicity. I'm going to repent of all of that, and I'm turning towards you. And in 5:17, Paul tells us this. When that happens, when we see that, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new person. He's a new, all new, old things are passed away, past tense. It's behind you. Quit picking it up. Leave it back there. It's passed away. When somebody passes away, we put them in a nice, beautiful coffin. We put them in the ground. We bury them. Do we ever go back and get them? Why then in our lives, when God tells us something is passed away, tell me, somebody, why do we insist on going back and unburying that old toxicity and bringing it along with us? Is that not crazy? And we all do that, don't we? We hold on to that bondage. Why? Because a lot of times we think that bondage is normal. It begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. And it's in Christ that we're created a new creation, a new person. The gift is there. Behold, all things have become new. Listen, here's your key. This is where bondage can start to be broken and boundaries can be made. If step one, if choice one is not in your life, you can't go any farther. It starts right here. Without this step, it is like having a roadblock in front of you. You can't go beyond that roadblock. You have to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why our whole purpose is to make fully devoted followers of Christ. That's what it's about. And so that's the first choice. You either have to choose self or you have to choose Christ. Simple enough choice, isn't it? Think on that a while. We're going to move on to the next one. And so when that one is taken care of, and we'll give you opportunity today to do that. But when that one's taken care of, as we begin to submit to Christ, we have to decide a few other things. Now, these are real limited. I mean, this is like the starting point. We could go for weeks and weeks and weeks and talk about this. But the second one is this. When we accept Christ, and after we accept Him, the second thing we have to do is face our problems, face our difficulties, without making excuses. The choice that we have to make is we can either submit to excuses, or we can submit to the truth. Y'all with me? We can either submit to the excuses, or we can submit to the truth. Let me put it to you another way. We can either decide to live in that new life, in another, that new man, that new woman, or we can continue to decide to live in the toxicity of the old. The easiest example I have for that, this is where the yeah, but syndrome comes in. Y'all know what the yeah, but syndrome is, don't you? We hear the truth. You know, we see the truth. We hear the truth. You come every Sunday, you're going to hear the truth of the Word of God. And then we will hear that, and we know it applies to our life. We know it applies to our situation. We know all of that. And then we will say, yes, I see that, I hear that, I understand that. Yeah, but. Right? Hello? Y'all with me, aren't you? I want to help you this morning. Yeah, but. And then that's when our negative, narcissistic attitude comes in. And we think we know better than Christ does. We know better than the Word of God does. And we just don't want to hold on. We just don't want to let go of that bondage. And so we submit to the excuses, and we find ourselves submitting to the grumbling, fault-finding, complaining, negative bondage that's around us. Thank you. I wasn't going to say it, but listen, it's true. Just pay attention to the conversations you have around you. Look inside your own heart, because the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now. He's telling us. We know that. We don't have to tell ourselves that. The Holy Spirit's saying, you better listen to what He's saying. Because you've got that area, you need to let it go. You want to hold that against them. You want to hold this against that. You want to live in your past. You want to, you know, you want to make excuses instead of listening to the truth. I'm glad I got four people up here. Y'all been, evidently they've been through it. And so we have to realize that. Think with me. Does that attitude promote bondage or does it promote healthy boundaries? Guess. Somebody guess for me. Does that promote bondage or does that promote healthy boundaries? Bondages. Where are you living at? The bondages or the boundaries? You know, where is it all this, you know, this stuff at in our lives? And so we see that. Think with me. That's it. And so, you know, does it have any benefit? I mean, so you're going through that. Are the outcomes beneficial? No. They just tie us up. And we continue to make excuses, or we can continue to listen to God's truth, whichever one we want to. But what happens when we listen to God's truth? Somebody asked me that. What happens when we listen to God's truth? Thank you. Somebody asked me, what happens when we listen to God's truth? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you, John chapter 8 is up here on the board. It says this. It says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, and Jesus said to the Jews who believed him. So in other words, they realize who he is. They believe him. And he says, if you abide in my word, abide means stay. It means that's where you're going to dwell. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples. You are fully devoted followers of Christ, right? And so if you're a fully devoted follower of Christ and you're one of his disciples, then what's the promise he gives us? And he says, and you shall know the truth. So the truth can be known, right? So we see that the truth can be known because he's telling us you can know the truth. And what does the truth do for you? It sets you free. What else do we want but to be free? You see, that's where it begins. That's where we realize that we don't have to make any excuses anymore, because when we abide in him, y'all with me? When you abide in him, he gives you his truth. His word, and it's through his word that you live and you are set free from the bondages of this life. Can anybody give me a hallelujah? We finally figured out that is where to live. Go on, clap. Y'all not grasping it. You like your bondage too much. You don't want, well, you know, that doesn't work for everybody. Yes, it does. It works for everybody. You just have to take the word of God at its face value, as reality. That's what God is promising you. You don't have to live in that bondage, but you got to give up the excuses. You got to give up the excuses and live in his truth. Paul said it this way. I don't have this on the screen. He says, Paul says this to the Philippians and Philippi. He says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Listen. Satan, this world, even your own mind, will aggressively fight against you seeing through the excuses in your life. As long as you are submitting to excuses, you cannot submit to Christ. As long as you are submitting, this is excuses right here. As long as you are submitting to those excuses, you can't submit to Christ. James tells us it's a double-minded person. We'll look at double-minded in a minute. It means have two faces. You know, we call somebody it's two-faced, you know. You know, two-faced, they're one way towards you. They say one thing to you. You know, your coworker, I don't know, family member, they're, I just like you so much. You're so sweet. Man, you're awesome. Man, can you believe that jerk? Man, I wouldn't give him the time of day. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. We're two-faced. We're two-faced toward God. Oh, God, I love you so much. I'm so glad that I could come and worship you this morning. And then we walk away from him and make excuses. Yeah, but. I better go on step 3 because I don't know if y'all can handle that step much more. Look here. One more thing before that. You got to take responsibility. I can't think of anything greater for our children, for our teenagers, for our adults, for our young people, than to see us as adults take responsibility for our lives. Whether it be excuses, whether it be problems, whether it be difficulties, we need to take responsibility. Yep, I did it. Yes, I messed up. Yes, it was my fault. Yes, it wasn't a good choice. But let's use the but in the positive. But by the glory of God, I've understood the error of my ways. I understand where I messed up. I understood the bondage that I've created in my life. And I've chosen to rebuke that bondage. I've chosen to rebuke Satan and his lies in my life. And I've chosen the healthy boundaries of Christ and what he has for me. How about that for a lie? Does anybody need that but me? See, and you can live it every day. You can live it every day. The choice is, are you going to listen to submit to the excuses, or are you going to submit to the truth? Once we do that, you can do the next choice. Number three, you can do this. When you can define freedom, then and only then can you attain it. When you can define freedom, what is freedom? Then and only then can you attain it. Now here's the choice you have to make. You can either submit to the word or you can submit to the world. You could actually do this one two ways. You could say you can either submit to the word or you can submit to yourself. But I'd used self once already, and word and world began with the same letter, so I thought I liked it. You can either submit to the world or you can submit to the word. So you got to understand what freedom is. Defining freedom begins with understanding that our victory is obtained in whom? Our victory is obtained in whom? In Christ. Our victory is obtained in Christ. 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 15, tells us that. Paul tells us in there, he says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. Here's what he's saying. You ready? You cannot experience the freedom and victory that Christ has attained on your behalf unless you submit all to him. To submit anything else is to give it control. You're submitting to something, right? If you're submitting to Christ, you're giving him control. If you're submitting to anything else, you're giving it control. So something's having control. So what's the problem? Here's the problem. You ready? You have a control issue. You got a control problem. Let me give you some examples. I like these. Some of y'all heard these the other night. I used the other night in Wednesday worship. So if you've heard these, if you think, that sounds familiar. Well, you heard them. They were so good the other night, I thought I'd use them here. You might have a control issue. That's a throwback, isn't it? What's the redneck guy's name? You might be a redneck if I don't remember his name, but that's not where I was going with that, but it just kind of struck me as, oh, well. You might have a control issue. Some of you might need to write a couple of these down. You might have a control issue if you constantly feel the need to force your agenda. You just might have a control issue. How about this one? You might have a control issue if you pray about an issue and then immediately try to solve the problem yourself. You might have a little bit of a control issue. Yeah. About 95% of you in here. You might have a control issue if your prayer life consists of telling God what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and why it needs to be done. You might have a control issue. Y'all with me? You might have a control issue if your life is consistently characterized by stress, anxiety, and sleeplessness. You might have a control issue. Trying to work out your problems and the world problems while you're trying to get 8 hours of sleep or rest. Last one, all right, last one. We could go on for days. You might have a control issue if the notion of having a control issue makes you mad. Or, let me word it this way, you might have a control issue if you vehemently fight against the notion that you have a control issue. Guess what? You got a control issue. You definitely got a control issue. Why do I bring that up? Because victory and freedom is not only having a peace with God, it's about having and living in the peace of God. I'm going to say that again. You see, we think of the peace with God. It actually takes us back to step one, where the personal relationship with Christ. We're separated from Him in our sins, and we need the peace of God in our lives. We need that peace with God because we're separated from that peace, and there's no peace with us. And so we accept that peace with God, and then sometimes we leave that peace. Yes, I've accepted Him, and we walk away. We're beginning to live in the reality of healthy boundaries in our lives. But instead of walking in those boundaries, submitting to Him, we walk away from those, and we go back to our bondage. And when we do that, we miss out on having and living in the peace of God. You see, the difference there is the peace with God is eternal. He's the one that does all that for us. The peace of God is what we live in daily. And so when we walk away from Him, you see, we lose that peace. When you see someone who's going through traumatic difficulties or just trials in their lives, and yet they're at peace with that, and why is that? Because they know and understand how to live in the peace of God, submitting to Him, because they know that no matter what they face, no matter what trials come their way, they know the boundaries that He has set. They know the protection that He provides. They know the peace that is experienced only in Him. They know the redemption power that He has provided for them. They understand the relationship of being a fully devoted follower of Christ. It's there for all of us. If you're a child of God, it's there for all of us. And bondage occurs when you try to control your life instead of allowing Christ to control you. Bondage is trying to control your life instead of allowing Christ to control you. Philippians chapter 1 is a good place to go there. Philippians chapter 4 is tremendous. Philippians 1:6, he tells us this, that who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He even tells us about the confidence there, doesn't he? Look at that verse. Being confident. Who's the confidence in? Confidence is in Christ. Being confident of this very thing. What very thing? The very thing that Christ has done for us. That He, who's He? He's Christ, who has begun a good work in you. Who began the good work? Did you begin the good work, or did He begin the good work? He began the good work. So why are you trying to do the good work? Live in Him and let Him do the good work through you. What's He going to do when He does the work? He's going to make you complete until the day of Jesus Christ. What are you going to do when you try to do the good work? You're going to live in bondage. Which one you want? That's pretty simple, isn't it? I love the Word of God. The Word of God is very straightforward. I mean, it's just there for us, and it's the, you know, it's His truth. And if we'll submit to His truth, if we'll submit to His word, instead of submitting to ourselves and submitting to this world, then we'll see a major difference in our walk and in the difference between bondage and boundaries in our lives. We just got to stop making excuses sometimes. Freedom is not you living for God. I'm going to let that sink in, because some of you are thinking, well, wait a minute. Freedom is not you living for God. True freedom is God living through you. Amen. Y'all not got it yet. Freedom is not you living for God. Should you? Sure. But you can't do it on your own, can you? You keep screwing it up. Freedom is not you living for God. Freedom is God living through you. And we have to get past that bondage and past that excuses and past that idea that what you've done, God can't love you anymore. And what you've done, you know, sets you apart from everybody else and you don't deserve that love. No, He died for you. He wants you to live in that spiritual freedom of the boundaries that He's established for you. That's what He wants for you. It's right there. And so that number three is realized when we understand number four. I had like number 20. I was going through number 30. I mean, these things went on for days. And I finally just said, well, you know, I'll be lucky to get these done. 10:08. It's 10:08. I saw somebody looking at their watch just trying to help you out there. Yeah, don't y'all take me too seriously. Submit to self or submit to Christ. Submit to excuses or submit to the truth. Submit to the word or submit to the world. Last point, number four. So you know, surely in your mind you're thinking, oh, he's only got about five more minutes. He's almost done. Probably not. But anyway, number four. When you can determine, excuse me. When you can determine the right voices to listen to, then you'll have victory. When you determine the right voices to listen to, then you will have victory. Here's the choice we have to make. You can either submit to chaos, or you can submit to peace. You can submit to chaos or you can submit to peace. Let me give you this verse in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, 25, it's in the New Living Translation. I really like the way this worded. It says this, and it summarizes this whole idea right here of submitting to chaos or submitting to peace. It says, Jesus is talking. He says, then he added, he said, pay close attention to what you hear. In other words, he said, listen. Listen attentively. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. So the implication there is, if you will listen to God, you will have more understanding, you will have more wisdom, and the more you listen, the more wisdom and the more understanding you will gain. So it's a continual process that he's given us. Verse 25, to those who listen to my teaching, to Christ's teaching, to him, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. You have to understand and listen to the right voices. Wisdom is found through God's word. Godly wisdom is found in those who understand and study and meditate upon and live by His word. So we need to be careful to the voices that we are listening to. Sometimes we listen to our own, don't we? That don't always work well for us, does it? Sometimes we listen to others, like your girlfriends or, you know, your co-workers. This is kind of that part where James, I was talking about a while ago, about being double-minded. In James, in his book there, in chapter 1, he tells us a person who is double-minded has two minds. It's the mind that is seeking after the world and God at the same time. Now, if you're doing that, how many voices are you listening to? Listen, let me tell you this. Write this down. If you create chaos, you're going to inherit chaos. Now, this is just on a personal level. There's all kinds of chaoses in the world, and you can't always choose to whether you're going to be a part of a chaos or not, or a problem, because sometimes you just get thrown into it. Sometimes it was somebody else's decision, somebody else's choice, right? So we understand that. Y'all with me? I mean, sometimes Satan creates a chaos. Sometimes God creates a chaos. But it's there. But personally, you as an individual, you have a choice a lot of times about whether you create chaos in your life or not. And I'm just going to be upfront honest with you. If you create chaos, don't think you're going to walk away from that big bad boy. You got to live with it. When you create chaos, you're going to inherit that chaos. All right? It kind of goes back to step one, you know, just quit making excuses. Sometimes it is what it is because we did what we did. And so that's where he comes from. Now, there's all kinds of chaos there. But listen, it's like being at a table at a restaurant and trying to listen to multiple conversations going on, you know, around you. Now, ladies, I know y'all can't understand that illustration because y'all do a really good job of listening to not only the conversation at your table, but what they're saying on this side of you and what they're saying over there. I know you do because I've heard you leaving the restaurant before, you know, and saying, did y'all hear what they were talking about at that other table? Don't ask your husband that. He's trying to remember what you said. Hear what they said over there. Chaos. You know, it's like, it's just chaos. And so, you know, it happens to us, and we have to let it go. Listen, ladies, gentlemen, here's the... Would you let... I'm going to ask somebody over here, Dev. I asked y'all the last question. Let me ask y'all. Let's say you're at Walmart again. I don't know why I'm picking on Walmart. Let's say Kmart. I won't be I won't be equal in my choices of places I don't go. Say you're at Kmart in the parking lot. Let's say somebody comes up to you with a strong scent of alcohol on their breath and they ask to borrow your car.
Hey, I'm buying your car. I got it going down the street. I'm buying your car.
That's kind of stupid, isn't it? What if it's even, you know, somebody, not they don't have to be inebriated. Maybe it's just, you know, what if it's, you know, your worst enemy in the world? Hey, can I come borrow your car? You dialed the wrong number. You're not going to let them borrow your car, are you? Why not? It's just not a smart choice, is it? I mean, that's just really just kind of stupid. And so you listen to that voice in your head that says, I smell a strong scent of something that I remember from years ago in my past that smelled that before. No, I'm sorry. I'm just... Hey! I'm not going to let that person borrow my car. I'm not going to let a stranger. Is anybody going to let a stranger borrow the car? You're not going to do that, are you? It's just common sense, isn't it? It's just common sense. Let me ask you a question. Where does common sense go when we start asking others about what we should do? And then you allow others inside your head and drive around in there wherever they want to go, telling you, well, I'll tell you what I would do, or let me tell you what I think. Why we do that? Stop it. Just stop it. You hear these words, well, I'll tell you what I would do, or let me tell you what I think. I don't care who it is. Say, time out. You just lost access to my emotional and mental boundaries. I am not letting you in. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. I don't care where you, you know, what you've experienced in your life, because you're not me. I'm listening and submitting to the Word of God. I'm tired of all that bondage that you create. I'll tell you what I think you should do. No, listen to the right voices in the Word of God. Set up some boundaries in your mind so that when those people come up and they think they're going to tell you all about what you need to do in your life, I got one simple little two-letter word for you, and just connect it together. Na, 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 na. Stop listening to them. Stop it. Then you won't be coming to me 6 months later saying, what do I need to do? You need to stop listening to the idiots in your life. Stop listening to the wrong voices. Is that not hard? Are y'all with me? It just, oh man, like, you know, and this is that, and then stop. Just stop. And then we get to the, yeah, but. I don't want to hear the yeah, buts either. Let's just be straight up and honest with one another, okay? There's a path we can take. It's called emotional and mental boundaries that God sets up for us. And there's a path that we don't need to take, and it creates all kind of bondage in our lives. So don't let them or anyone else, you know, listen to godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. And you can only recognize godly wisdom sometimes is when you're in the Word of God yourself. But for the rest of that, listen, those voices, just don't let them in. Refuse delivery. No admittance. You put a big sign up. Then what do? You ask God. That's what you do. That's what James tells us in James chapter 1. He says, but let patience, that means perseverance, have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I think we just read that over in Mark, did we not? Or over in John about being complete. And he's saying the same thing here. If you perseverance, having perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any lacks wisdom, what do? Ask. Man, that's hard. But why is it sometimes I don't ask? Man, I'll run that thing around my brain, you know, thousand times. I try to figure it out all by myself over and over. What do I do? What do I do? What should I do? If I do this, maybe I can do that. If I do this, well, maybe I should answer this way. Maybe I should go there. Maybe I should do this. And the whole time, God's just saying, you know, brother, you know, child of God, if you would just ask, if you just ask, if any of you, how many of you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That you there is you. If any of you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives liberally, abundantly, more than you could ever imagine, without reproach. In other words, you're not coming to him and asking him, God, what do I do? And he's not going to come to you and say, well, I'm going to tell you one more time, and that's it. No, there's no reproach. He loves you, and he says, I'm glad you come to ask. You've come to ask. Now, let's look past what we did over here. Yeah, you need to repent, ask forgiveness, whatever you do, and let's move forward. There's no reproach with him. He's not, you know, beating you over the head with a, you know, with a bat. He's saying, listen, there's no reproach. Come and ask me, and it will be given to you. Seek the godly wisdom that God wants to have for us. Seek the person with godly wisdom. Don't let the stranger drive around in your head, all right? Let me close with this. And this, I think I heard this from Tony Evans, I think. I don't remember who I heard it from. I'm going to give Tony Evans credit. I like Tony Evans. If you want to listen to somebody good, listen to Tony Evans. Let me close with this. We have all this. We have these choices. But as we make these choices, and we're talking about emotions and mental boundaries, you can never allow your feelings to to override your faith. You can never allow your feelings to override your faith. Never miss the opportunity to listen to what God has to say to you that will help in those boundaries that we have. Never miss the opportunity to allow the chaos in your life to bring you closer to God. In other words, we all have chaos. You have chaos this morning. So there's two options here today. We started off with the personal relationship with Christ, and that's what you need. And so that's that opportunity now, is to accept Him as your personal Savior. But then whatever else we're going through, never allow those difficulties, never allow that chaos to hinder you, but allow those things to bring you closer to God. Listen, chaos is going to happen. Toxicity is there. You just either have to choose what you're going, if you're going to refuse it or accept it, or if you're going to live by, submit to the boundaries that Christ has given us, or the bondage that this world and sometimes ourselves wants to give us. Does that make sense? That's pretty simple. Chaos is there. You have to choose to live. This morning, somebody, y'all need to choose to live. What do you mean by that? I mean, you need to give up living in the turmoil or the chaos that you're through. That does not define you. Stop allowing your circumstances to define you and allow Christ to define you. Yes, you're going to have to live through the chaos, through the turmoil, through the difficulty. You're going to have to live through that, but that does not define you as a fully devoted follower of Christ. Only He does. Only He does. Would you pray with me?